show this morning here on Faith FM. I want to remind everyone that we have a giveaway to you. We have a very special book. It's called Darkness Before Dawn. If you want to understand what's happening, what's going on in the world today from a spiritual perspective, plus a whole bunch of other topics that will help you to prepare yourself for what the Bible calls the end of times. Well, this book is going to help you greatly in that task. It's going to help you to prepare and your family. We're not talking about, you know, doomsday prepping in terms of, you know, stocking up, you know, medicine and food and water. We're talking about how to get ready spiritually, which is even more important.
And how to find peace in those hard times. And this book, I love about it is it addresses some of those age-old questions that people wrestle with. Like, why do bad things happen to good people?
That's right.
You know, where is God in my hurt, in my suffering? And is there life after death? Can I talk with the dead? It talks about all of these kind of things. And yeah, I'm really excited that we get to give this to you for no cost. And all you have to do
is the hashtag?
Text in the code word hashtag dawn to our number here in the studio, 0491-064-669. And we look forward to giving you Darkness Before Dawn. And all you have to do is text in that code word hashtag dawn.
That's right. And do it now. Do it now, because if you leave it
right
too later, guess
phone.
What? You're going to forget, and that book is not going to come around for a long, long time. So if you think that this is the kind of book that you are needing right now, well, that's your chance. So stop whatever you're doing. You know, just make sure that you're in a safe space, in a safe position. If you're driving your car, make sure that you pull it over at, you know, somewhere safe. Don't text while you're driving at all. Don't do this. I don't do this at all. Text us to 0491-064-669. Save this number in your contacts with Breakfast Show, and it's going to make your life easier as well. So you can chat with us and claim prizes and resources. We want to
give this to you, and we want to meet you. We want to know what's happening in your day, in your journey with God, and how we can encourage you to get to know Him better.
Yeah, and we also want to know if you are a Marmite fan. You know what, Aaron? I think that none of our radio friends, you know, and our radio friend here right now that I'm talking to you, I don't think that you like Marmite or Vegemite at all, because I haven't received any
Promite, Vegemite, Marmite discussion
about how to eat the blessed thing properly. So, you know, maybe nobody likes it. So I understand that. I can relate.
I'll text you,
but prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Show me that I'm wrong. Just, you know, text us in. Do you like Marmite, Vegemite, Termite?
And how do you like it? How do you like it? On your toast.
That's right. And if you say that you like them with Weet-Bix, I'll tell you that I'm not going to try this, because it's going to be
too Aussie for
you. No, can you imagine like a Weet-Bix already
dry thing?
It's part
of your citizenship test. You're going to have to.
I do actually
eat a Weet-Bix with a Marmite.
With a little bit of Nutrilex and then Promite and tomato, and it's pretty good.
Wait, Nutrilex on Weet-Bix.
Otherwise, this is very dry. Like, you can't whistle after having Weet-Bix ever. Try it.
Nutrilex is like butter.
Yes, but it's got to wet the whistle somehow. Like, it's just too dry in your mouth otherwise.
Look,
avocado,
I don't know.
Goes really well.
It's, yeah.
Anyway.
As the Bible says, it's very hard to put new wine into old wineskins. And you know, that's definitely the case for me. Weet-Bix with, you know, I'm okay with milk and, you know, yogurt and fruits and honey. But eating Weet-Bix like savory.
We hope you're enjoying your breakfast at
home
right
now. That's stretching my mind a little bit. Maybe one day I'll have the courage. Very good. I want to share a story that I found that's coming from the Christian Post Daily. And I just want to give a warning to all of our listeners. This story will have descriptions of violence committed against believers, against Christians. So that you know. That story happened in Kenya. Okay, so a Muslim couple and their adult son, they received Christ in November last year. And the story was about, and all the names here have been changed, of course, for the protection of those involved. So they're in the Budini Nyanza area of the Kaliro town, in the Kaliro district. This is in eastern Uganda. 64-year-old Kaiga Muhammad, his wife Sawuya Kaiga, and their son Swaga Amuza Kaiga, who was 26, they had accepted Jesus. And one of the reasons is that his son was very, very sick with malaria.
The malaria.
With malaria. And they asked for the church pastor of that town to come and pray for them. And so the pastor came. He brought in some elders of his church, some people. They prayed, and immediately malaria left the site.
Praise God. And this is something that we see in scripture, that if someone is sick, we can ask for the church leaders to come and anoint them. And this is something that you can do, listener, at your own church or in your own communities. If you or a loved one is experiencing sickness, you can ask for a church pastor or a leader to come and anoint them.
That's right.
And pray for healing.
And you can do it. You don't need to wait until you're almost dead or anything like that. You can use whenever you feel like you're sick and you're trying to do everything and it's nothing really working.
Yeah.
I was actually anointed now in the holiday break, because I was, I got the man flu. Again, I got it pretty bad. And I actually asked my brother-in-law, who is an elder in his church in Brazil, say, hey, can you please anoint me? And you know what? After he anointed me, like a couple of hours later, I was better than ever.
Praise God.
So praising God for that. But they prayed, and his son was immediately restored to good health. And because of that, I think that really touched that family. And they decided to accept Christ into their lives. But they decided to do so secretly, because they wanted to make sure that, because they knew that their Muslim community in their particular area was quite intolerant.
Quite underground, the Christian faith.
That's right. So thus they did. However, on December 15, some Muslims in Muhammad's area, they noticed that Muhammad was leaving a church worship, because he continued going to the mosque as per usual. He was a very respected man, but now they realized that he was also going to the Christian church in the area. And they informed one of the leaders in that area. So that person who is the leader of the town, the following day he went to visit Muhammad in his home to question him. And Muhammad did not lie, and he openly told him, yes, that he and his family members had given their lives to Christ. And that city, the town leader, he was really angry about it. And he says, look, I'll give you 1 week to renounce Christianity. And if you refuse, I will mobilize the Muslim community here in the area against your family, because you have brought... You have blasphemed the name of Allah. You have embarrassed our community, and that's what it's been reported to us here through Morningstar News. And so, a week later, December 26th, one day after Christmas, the Muslims in the area, they came and they set the family's house ablaze with gas, and unfortunately, the three members of the family were burned beyond recognition. And yet the police arrived, they investigated, they arrested some of the agitators of that crime. It's a crime, because in Uganda, people do have the freedom to believe whatever they want to believe. They do have the freedom to change their beliefs if they desire to do so. So there were some people that were arrested. One of them was a man called Wangule Abudu, 62 years old, and Ismail Jigagi, 20 years old. The deceased were taken to have their bodies analyzed and everything, and then they were buried. But what I wanted to what inspired me about that message is that they accepted Christ in December 15, 11 days or a little bit prior to that. December 15 was the date where Muhammad was seen coming out of a church. 11 days later, they had paid for their faith with their lives. And that really inspired me, because look, this is not the kind of level of persecution that we experience in Australia, thank God. But at the same time, I believe that every believer needs to be ready for an occasion such as this one. In particular, for the Christian, to die is actually not a bad thing. If I die tomorrow, what am I going to feel? Well, according to the Bible, I'm going to be unconscious. I'm not going to even know that I'm dead. I'm going just to be
asleep. The next thing you see, that's will right, be
like
Jesus
a dreamless
face.
Sleep. The next thing that I'll see, it will be extreme joy. of seeing Jesus coming back from the clouds of heaven to take us to live with him forever. Not only myself, but all of our loved ones, all of the saints that have accepted the love and the forgiveness of Jesus throughout ages. So
Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain.
To die is gain. And I think that this family really understood that God and Jesus, they offered something that was even better than life. That it was worth to be burned alive. Because they could easily have renounced. Just yesterday, we were talking about a very ancient letter from Pliny the Young to Roman Emperor Trajan about, you know, Christians. And he was saying like how many so-called Christians had renounced the faith and cursed Christ and even in the Roman Empire and worshiped other gods. But others chose to be thrown into the lion's den and chose to be sent to the Colosseum and to be burned alive. And the only reason that why this is possible is because they experienced in Jesus a happiness and a joy that nothing in this world could give them.
And we really hope and pray that you at home never have to face this kind of a decision. But I wonder what decision it is that you may have to make for your faith. We know that, you know, for many young people growing up, playing sport, competitive sport on the Sabbath is a question that they will have to decide. You know, are you serious about going to church on Sabbath, or would you rather play for state, you know, or compete in cricket or
that's
whatever?
That's right. Or career choices.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You know, or working in retail on the Sabbath. That's you know, right. Something that I had to face growing up, not really growing up, but when I was going through my nursing studies and then working, is do you accept shifts on the Sabbath? And we know that there are so many emergency workers and, you know, police and ambulances and security officers and doctors and lots of people that have to work on the Sabbath. But what is your relationship with that work and with God? You know, I found that when I was able to read my Bible during my breaks and then I was able to really minister towards my patients, that was an act of service. But for me personally, when that accepting that shift on Saturday meant I would get more money because it was time and a half to take that Saturday shift. When that switch happened in my mind, I had to pull back. And I said, my intention has changed and now my motivation is wrong. And so it's really a personal thing between you and God. But, how can we honor God in the decisions here in our culture and in our context? And we really hope and pray that your life is never put on the line for your faith. But if it is, or if something else in your life is being called into question for your faith, how will you respond in an act of obedience?
That's right.
You know, just a couple of months ago, I was over in Thailand, and there is a huge Buddhist community over in Thailand. Like over 95% of the country is Buddhist and less than 1% is Christian. It's phenomenal. And the persecution faced for faith over there is quite significant as well. What they found is that the easiest way to reach Buddhists is not to use someone from Australia, but to use someone who was Buddhist, a Thai person who was Buddhist, who has now found Jesus to minister to their own because they get it. There's a unique level of persecution. Yes. And
I think that this is part of what the biblical theology of suffering is all about. Our sufferings are a witness of God's goodness.
Yes.
They tell that he is worthy. He's yes. worth it. And I'm wondering, I can only imagine what is the impact to that community, even to the Muslim community, to say, wow, you know, this man has something that he believes is worth dying for.
Yeah.
This is the thing about Christianity. Christianity does not say that there's nothing that is worth killing for, but Christians are worth dying for. And dying for what? For the well-being of others, for the salvation of others. And that's the ultimate sacrifice. That will have lots of people, I believe, questions like, wow, what is it that he saw that was so good, that was better than life itself? And for those of us living in Australia where we don't face this, you know, these levels of threat, I would say this, look, it's a good time to check your relationship with God, because if you're relating to God just as in a transactional level, like, oh yeah, I'm just obedient,
just
doing
lukewarm,
the thing. I don't think that kind of faith is enough. I think that the only kind of faith that is enough to endure these levels of pressure to life is when you actually experience God's love and you can say, look, God, your love is better than life. And that cannot happen if your relationship with God is more just on a transactional level. If you're just like obeying rules, you're just doing rites and doing traditions. No, you have to be a living relationship where you're listening from God. You're experiencing his love. It's a living covenant relationship with him. which we're going to be talking more about it in the next segment as well.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show this morning here on Faith FM. It is 8 a.m. if you're listening live here in New South Wales time.
A very good morning to you at home.
Or wherever you are, at work, in the car, or just walking your dog.
Exercising.
We have had a couple of messages that came through. We also have a big event happen in the United States just, you know, a few hours back. You know what big event I'm talking about, Shell? You're the American in the room. I'll tell you about it and some interesting things that came to that. And,
All right.
Yeah, I'll share a little bit about it. And then we're going to have our Bible study on God's love and on the various aspects of God's love and God's justice as well. But first things first, let's start this segment with the much awaited quiz question number 3. So, Shell, you
okie
hit us.
Dokie.
And you can hit us
I'm
hard
to
if you
think of
if
what
you
the
need.
Big event is, but that's all right. Let's, I'm hanging out.
Okay.
Question number 3. From where do you come? This is a question that God has asked somebody in the Bible. And who did he ask this question? From where do you come?
Do I have to come up with the answer, Shell?
Yes, I will give you your multiple. Yes. I will give you your multiple choice.
Just give the text number.
I'm thinking that Scaffy should have this one already because you've only just recently told this story.
Ah, okay.
Does that help? No.
Unfair advantage.
From whence did you come? That, or from where do you come? Did you come? Okay. So your options are A, Paul, B, Esau, C, Satan, or D, Noah. And those are your options. Okay.
All right. I'm submitting my answer to the judge.
Correct. Aaron has it correct. Our number here is 0491-064-669. If you know the answer, and if you are paying good attention to our More Like Him segment over the last couple of weeks, you will have heard this story that it was presented. So the question that God asked somebody was, from where do you come and who did he ask? Was it Paul,
interesting,
Esau, Satan, or Noah?
God asks some interesting questions to people. Hey, they stimulate reflection.
And let me tell you this, though. I think that there is one great application from all of God's questions. The questions that God asks throughout the Bible, when we are praying to God ourselves and when we stay quiet, trying to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, often what God will communicate to us is a question, and one of the questions that he asks someone in the Bible, the one that is applicable to us. Often God talks to us through questions as well.
You know, one of my favorite questions that God asks is, do you want to be healed? He's talking to the paralytic at the pool of Bethsaida, and he's saying, like, it seems like a no-brainer. Of course you would want to be healed. This man hasn't been able to walk for decades. And Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?
Yes, and I love that. And if you get just one step even further, I would say the same word for healing is the word for salvation. So when God is asking, do you want to be healed? He's also asking, do you want to be saved? And the reason why this is it is a straightforward question. It should be, but the reason why this is a question that needs to be asked, it's not only because God is not going to force anything on anyone.
He's a gentleman. He doesn't.
But if you want to be saved, it means that you're going to need to make some decisions and some hard decisions. And perhaps you have to go through suffering, and God is wanting to make sure that are you sure that is that what you really want? I can give it to you, but also, are you willing to do your part on that story, which is to walk by faith?
It requires change. You know, sometimes we can be quite comfortable with living life as we know it. It's familiar. And so for us to be healed might mean changing some of the ways that we do things. It might mean giving up some things that, oh, you know what? I kind of enjoy that. But we have to trust that God only asks us to give up things so that he can produce an even better result.
Yeah, always, you know, a better result.
Trusting the vine dresser, that the one who's cutting, the branches is going to produce even better fruit.
Better fruit, absolutely.
Question of trust.
So, all right. So who did God ask the question, from where do you come? If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. Let me read a couple of text messages that we received here, Aaron.
It's so great to know you guys are at home. Good morning to you. We hope you've had a wonderful start to your day so far.
That's right. We have a message here from Vernon. And he said, hey, I'm not a fan of on Vegemite or any mite.
Oh, he doesn't do either.
And yeah, he says that he's not used to it. However, said, but I do like cheesy mite bread. Have you ever eaten cheesy? I didn't even know that there
was a
thing.
You know the cheesy mite scrolls at Baker's Delight? I did used to have them growing up in high school.
Are they nice?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll guess I have to try that one, Vernon, and see what's the hype about it.
You can actually buy cheesy mite as well, which is a cheese supermarket? Mixed in with your... And you know, I did find that was an easy... Oh, they do it in a squeezy?
They do everything. I saw squeezy peanut butter the other day.
I'm not a fan of the squeezies. Are you? Do you like...
Squeezy condensed milk. You know, squeezy everything now.
I find... Yeah, you know, they always spit at you and you can never get everything out.
It's about as good as it gets for us.
And you can never get everything out and it never comes out when you want it to.
But, and the last like 20% in the tube never comes out.
That's right. Yeah. Wasteful.
Very good. But Ben said on the other hand, hey, I actually liked it. I like it on my toast just as is. And he says,
way to go, Ben.
It's like taking your medication every day. And look, it's true. It's healthy for you. It's full of all kinds of B.
Good
vitamins.
It does. There you go. Yeah.
Vernon also said, hey, by the way, I would like to say thank you for the Faith FM team for winning the free glamping tent accommodation at Gin Divine. Remember when we did that one show last year?
That was awesome.
So Vernon was one of the winners.
Vernon, congratulations.
He said that we enjoyed a lot staying inside the tent, although we did have a spider visitor. So,
This
is Australia.
More the merrier.
I highly recommend the glamping tent at Gin Divine. It's just like a modern tent with your own bathtub.
I'm so glad you got to go, Vernon, and experience that and enjoy it. And
where is that? That is at the Adventist Alpine Village in Gin Divine, which is a great camping ground.
It's in the southern part of New South Wales.
That's right. You can camp there. You can caravan there. You are at the very gates of the mighty snowy mountains.
It is. And while it says Adventist Alpine Village, it's so good for snow at Parrish and Threadbow, but then also for mountain biking.
Mountain biking.
Very popular in summer.
Water sports as well.
Yes.
It's a fantastic place. I love Gin Divine. It's one of my favorite towns in this country.
Well, there are so many great Adventist campgrounds around Australia. I think of Hawkwa in Victoria, Somerset up in South Queensland. We've got Yarra Hatney here in mid-coast North
Australia.
So if
you're a caravaner, if you're like a camper, it's a great place for you to go and explore Mount Kosciuszko.
Yeah.
That's right. Which, according to a Polish friend of mine, it's a heresy to say Mount Kosciuszko, as we normally say. She said to me, and this is coming from a Polish speaker. She speaks the Polish language, which is one of probably the hardest languages in the whole world. And by the way, if you're a Polish friend and you're listening to me, I know a word, cześć. You know what that means, cześć?
I have no idea. It's not Polish.
Hi. You know, how are you doing? She's like,
hi.
That's right. This is how complicated the language is. Even hi is just like cześć. And what she said is like the real way of saying Kosciuszko is Kosciuszko.
Is Mount Kosciuszko a Polish word?
Yeah, it's a Polish name, of course. Like, how many...
You say of course, but it's in Australia. I'm not like, in Poland.
No, it's in Australia, but the name is Polish. And how do you tell if the name is Polish? It has all of the way more consonants than vowels. It's an easy way to...
So clearly...
So say it one more time.
So the correct spelling is Mount Kosciuszko. That's right. That's what I've been told. If I'm not butchering the Polish language here, and if I am, I'm sorry for that. We can ask the Nuda. We can ask, if you know Polish, radio friend, let me know if I'm out there. So very good. Wayne had a message as well. And he said, hey, isn't our faith tested soon as we wake up daily till the time we close our eyes in the evening?
Yeah.
As soon as we wake up, shouldn't we pray and pick up the cross and surrender all to Jesus with thankfulness? Ask for the Holy Spirit during the day to carry the cross with a changed heart that Jesus provides, a love for others and a passion to spread the gospel of Jesus. In the evening, pray with thankfulness for the day which Jesus provided, and that's the reason with Jesus about the day. Be thankful for the Holy Spirit, and as a sinner, repent and pray for another day that you may be able to do better. Faith in Jesus it's the reason why you live. So absolutely, Wayne, I think that you said it very beautifully.
Amen, Wayne. And thank you for sharing.
I think it's in reaction to the story that we shared about that family in Uganda who accepted Jesus and they were persecuted.
Pay the ultimate price.
Pay the ultimate price for their choice. If you missed that, you can catch up on our podcasts later today. There is a big event happening in the United States, Shah, that I think it's worthwhile mentioning. And, you know, I can share some interesting things that people are commenting about. So
yeah, what's happening?
Please, it's please. Jimmy Carter's funeral.
Thinking, but you said it only just happened. So I'm like.
Yeah. And yesterday, and what happened is that they had a service, they had the eulogy. And the reason why it was a big event, Aaron, is because every single living
president.
U.S. president mm-hmm. was there.
They cleared their calendars for this.
Everybody went there, which was quite shocking. So we had Bill and Hillary. We had George and Laura mm-hmm. Bush, George W. Bush. We had Barack Obama. We had
Michelle.
No, but not Michelle Obama.
Oh, she wasn't able
She
to
was
be there.
The only living first lady that's not in attendance that people were saying, hey, why didn't she go there? Didn't she just bother to go? And so there's some people online that are
giving
her a hard time.
She would have obviously had a very good reason.
Yes.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Barkman, and then, of course, Trump and Melania.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris was there as well. And so some of the things that people are talking about is that Joe Biden was caught sleeping quite a few times.
Of course.
And you see, like, you know, George Bush sort of attending to him and kind of waking him up and saying, hey,
big
Joe.
Night. You know, couldn't sleep and lots of wake ups.
He's the president of the United States.
So he's extra tired.
Lots
of stress.
No, yep. He should step down. Yeah. He should have stepped down a long time ago.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Poor guy.
Yeah, look, we're all going to get there, Aaron. We're all going to get
tired.
Old.
That's
and,
right.
That's right.
But jobs you should not be doing
jobs.
When you have reached that
correct.
Place.
And people are
position.
Commenting as well because apparently Donald Trump was sharing some jokes with Barack Obama, and Barack Obama was laughing at them. And of course, you can say, "Look, it's
like
politics and being polite and so on." But the thing is that there's a big rivalry between the two
right.
of them, big time. So people are saying, "Hey, you know, why are these guys talking like they are buddies in an NFL match?" So it's some interesting comments that the interwebs are commenting about it. And why did I bring that up? Because if you want to know and if you want to get updated on the latest news on politics and how they relate to biblical prophecy, you gotta listen to Justin Lahman, Phil Yates, and Kyle Morrison's show on Faith FM every Friday afternoon. It's called The Perfect Storm. It's a really
and
good
looking
show.
Up, looking up, is
looking
also
up as well, looking
a
up as well.
Fantastic one, on
and
that,
maybe
that covers all of that.
When are they back?
They start back on the 22nd.
Okay, so on the 22nd, we're gonna have Looking Up. We also have The Perfect Storm.
When do they start back?
I think that they are back already, aren't they?
I don't know.
If they're not back, it's a great opportunity to just catch up
on last year's.
Yeah,
there's
on
so
last
much content
episodes.
On our
very interesting.
Website.
And of course, here on The Breakfast Show, we know whenever we have the opportunity to talk about it, we do
and,
so
and
too.
And we get Justin on every Monday. Yeah,
that's right. We get Justin every Monday. So that's
so we'll get his take
that's
on
right.
the funeral.
But I just needed to share that with you because that's you know. It's not a lot of events where you can get every single
what about
U.S. president.
Was religious figures there? Was there any?
Good question.
Was the Pope there? Because
all
of the presidents have gone to the Pope's funerals.
That's right. Well, but the Pope was not there.
Yeah.
But I would just imagine like the security apparatus. And
oh, it would have been huge.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And the conversations between these, you know, powerful people. Anyway, if you want to know what's behind the politics and what the Book of Revelation talks about it, Faith FM is the place for you to stay with. Now, we are going to go to our Bible study.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491-064-669.
So in our Bible study today, we're reading from our 20 Million Movement Bible Study Guides, which we always recommend. We can send you the link if you text us. You can go online, sabbath.school, Sabbath, of course, with double B, or you can type in Sabbath School in your app store of choice, either if you're an Android user or if you're an iOS user, there is the app for you. And what it does have in the app and in the website is Bible Study Guides for all ages, we are following the adult one, the main one. But there are guides for kids, for children, for teenagers, for young adults, you name it.
Oh, even down to toddlers and beginners.
Oh, yeah. Even down to babies.
Yeah. Just amazing.
So it's very good. So just check it out. It's a great resource that will help you understand your Bible better.
In fact, the new one has just been released for babies and beginners or toddlers, and it rolls out just this month.
Oh, yeah, that's a new one.
And it's called Alive in Jesus. Some beautiful graphics. If you are a new parent out there, or maybe you've got young children at home, I highly recommend getting your hands on one of the Alive in Jesus. You can just type that into your Google search bar, and it's coming up with lots of parent resources as well and parent Bible study guides, because it's a really unique stage of life and time of life. And there's some challenges that, you know, can be shared between common experiences there as well. Beautiful graphics, great songs that you can play in the car.
And activities to do with the kids as well. Yeah, it's really crafts. Great resource. Very I'm actually engaging. A big fan. I'm a big fan of the Children 20 Million Movement guides. They're quite amazing. So we're talking this quarter about God's love and his justice and how they both work together. And we were talking about how God's love is unconditional. God loves every single human being. Not only he loves you, but he actually likes you.
And there's nothing you can do that can make him love you more.
Or less. Or less. Dislove you. Or not love you at all.
It's not dependent on how good or bad you are.
It's not. So it's God's decisions, God's just attitude towards you, because he created you. He knows you. He knows your future. He longs to have a relationship with you. However, there is something conditional, and the conditionality is being in a relationship with God. Yeah. And receiving all of the blessings that come from that. They are conditional of being in that relationship and doing your part of honoring that relationship, which the biblical authors use often the word obedience.
Yes. And like we talked about earlier, that question, do you want to be made well? This is, do you love me? Do you want to be in that relationship with me in order to get the benefits of my relationship with you?
That's right. It's absolutely free. You can choose to get into it. You choose not to go into it. And there are a number of blessings that come from being in that relationship with God. The same way that there's lots of blessings that come in a marriage relationship. And in the same way, if you're respecting the marriage, the dynamics of a marriage relationship, there's blessings. And if you're transgressing against these dynamics, well, there is suffering that comes from that. So it's very similar. So I want to share a couple of Bible verses with you that talk about that conditional aspect of receiving God's blessings, of receiving some elements of God's blessings within that context of a covenant relationship with God. And after that, we're going to look into how can you actually reject God's mercy. And that's also a
how
thing.
Do you accept
you can actually reject God's love. Like. You can. God made the world with that possibility open. So let's talk about these two things. So first up, let's look into a couple of Bible verses here, Aaron. So would you like to open your Bible with me in Hosea 9:15 first?
Bible in my hand.
Hosea
I hope it's
chapter
in your
9.
Hand at two at home. Please pull out your Bibles or follow along with us if you are driving in the car. Hosea is after Psalms and Proverbs in those minor prophets.
That's right. And there it's going to be a bit of a difficult passage that we're going to break down for you.
All right, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So you can read it for us.
So Hosea 9:15 says, "And the Lord said, all their wickedness began at Gilgal. There I began to hate them. I will drive them from my land because of their evil actions. I will love them no more because all their leaders are rebels."
All right, keep going. Oh, sorry. Just read the line before all the preachers are rebels.
It says, "I will drive them from my land because of their evil actions. I will love them no more because all their leaders are rebels."
That's right. Because we're just saying here that God loves everyone, right?
Mm.
And now it looks like we're stumbling with a difficult Bible text here, because God says, like, "I will love them no more."
Yeah.
What do we do with that passage? Because clearly God says that, you know, he has loved us. For example, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love," talking to the same Israel that he's talking to. In the very book of Hosea, in chapter 14 In verse 4, God declares to his people that he will love them freely. So God says in one hand, in one breath, I will love you no more, period. And then in the other hand, it says, look, I will love you freely.
They seem to contraindicate each
other. It appears to be
contradict.
A contradiction, doesn't it?
Mm.
But this is the very interesting thing. First of all, the word here in Hebrew is hab. And it can mean to love, but it can also mean to desire or to delight.
Okay.
So we can interpret this passage by saying, I will drive them out of my house and I will delight in them no more. So what this passage is saying here is that because of their transgression, some of the blessings that they would otherwise have, they will forfeit. They'll not have anymore.
So I will continue to love you, but I That's will right. struggle to like you because of what you're
yeah.
doing?
Yeah, it's basically, look, I won't be able to delight in you. I won't be able to have a relationship where we are amicable towards each other. And this is one of the translations as well from that word in Hebrew is also to be amiable. So God is saying, look, because you have transgressed against me, we won't be able to have an amicable relationship. I won't be able to delight in you as I wanted to. Mm. There's going to be something between us that needs to be addressed first.
Well, and we see in the Garden of Eden, you know, that God used to come down and walk with Adam and Eve, right? You know, he used to just come and chat. And when sin came into the place, he struggled to be able to have that free and open relationship. Adam struggled to have that with God because there was shame and there was guilt and embarrassment. And so really on our part towards God as well, you know, like we're afraid of the cops when we do something wrong. But when you're not doing anything wrong, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's an open and free relationship.
That's right. And when there is something wrong, there is a pathway to restore that.
Yes.
And in God's way, it's much simpler than in the human relationships.
Yes. This is my favorite thing about God, that he has the ability to wipe a slate clean.
That's right.
That no matter what you've done, he can say, I'm the God of second chances. I can restore what was lost. I can heal what was broken. I can give back to you what you threw away.
Absolutely. And I think that this is, you know, different from a human relationship, because in a human relationship, like you make a mistake and you go and apologize, but the other person often they won't forgive you.
Or they hold the grudge.
They hold the grudge. Or they won't believe that you are sincere about your...
Or that you really have changed. And request. God says, I will throw your sins into the depths of the ocean.
That's right.
I'll remember them no more.
With God, it's much simpler. So God, I'm really sorry. You need to know in yourself, in your heart, if you're being sincere or not. And if you're being sincere, God's saying, I believe you.
Yeah.
And I forgive you. And we're good. Let's move
incredible.
On. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again. I'll help you. I'll be with you. And what if it happens again? Well, God can forgive you again.
And Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7, not just 7 times 7.
That's
but
right.
That's it.
As many times as is necessary.
Going. Yes.
And God is, no, he gets you all of our sins. And when he forgives them, the Bible says that he throws them in the book of Micah in the depths of the ocean. I was actually in Sydney last week and I went to the Maritime Museum. Have you been there?
Yes, I have. Brilliant place.
They had a machine there, a submarine. The very ones that actually touched down on the bottom of the known, the deepest part of the world's ocean in the Mariana wow. Trenches. It's 11 kilometers underneath the surface of the sea.
Imagine the pressure, the weight of that water on top of you. And
it's
and dark.
Incredible pressure. And of course it was piloted by James Cameron, who is, you know, this, you know, famous Hollywood director. He directed that movie Avatar and others and Titanic. And he, you know, got an interested in, you know, submarine expeditions. So he himself went there.
Wow.
I think that he just lost this great opportunity of quoting some Bible verses while he was there. Because of course, I don't think he's a believer. But one of the quotes that I would say is probably that one from Micah where God says, I will take your sins and I'll cast them in the bottom of the ocean and I'll remember them no more. And that's how God treats us. He really wipes the slate clean. He doesn't rub things in our face. He believes in us. He believes in our sincerity. And he's ready to help us to overcome whatever issues, whatever vices, whatever addictions, whatever shortcomings that we have. He's taking us by the hand, being patient and leading us through.
Amen. That's the kind of God I need, and we hope that that's the same God you need and that you want to.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM.
positively different.
All right, let's get into the answer to the previous quiz question and the last quiz question of the day. We have a theme today happening here. God, questions that God asks to people. That's super cool. So, Shel, let us know what's the answer and the new.
So our number question. Three question and answer was, where were you, from where did you come? And that was a Satan. Question that he asked to Satan.
Satan.
And it's in the story of Job.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the story of Job when they and disputed said, over his
from
faithfulness.
From my territory, the earth.
That's right.
Of course.
I have really enjoyed these quiz questions this morning. All questions that God asked to
That's
people.
Right.
And we have to think, what question is he asking us to ask today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. We've got one last one to go.
All right, last one.
And this is one that I'm pretty sure he asks to all of us as well.
Oh, I love
okay.
it.
Okay, so the question was, whom shall I send and who will go for us?
Oh, mm-hmm. Amen.
I know.
And we pray that this would be your response, that you would be able to respond to this question that God is saying, who will I send? Who will go for us?
And that's that your right. response will be the same one that the person who received it originally gave.
Yes, that's so right. So our multiple choices multiple for choice? This one is okay. A, Isaiah, B, Ezekiel, C, Daniel, and D, Jeremiah. Just saying Isaiah the Australian way just really threw me off from being able to say Ezekiel correctly.
You did it very well. It sounded quite fluent there, Shel.
Isaiah.
I was impressed.
So, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The number here is 0491-064-669. We've really enjoyed all of you playing along with us today. We've gotten a lot of answers through, and let's see how you do with this last question. Our multiple choice for that was A, Isaiah, B, Ezekiel, C, Daniel, or D, Jeremiah.
Now, can I ask the question, where is God asking them to go to? He says, where, you know, who will go for us? Go where? Do what? What is God asking in this question?
It's God saying, like, who will go wherever I want him to send?
Mm. Who will be obedient to the call that I'm placing in their life?
That's right.
If I say,
we'll go for us.
We'll give more of a specifics when we give the answer. So we don't want to give away too much.
All right. Yeah. Hang around for right. where God is sending this person to the Bible and sending
Very
you.
Good. And also, there are a few moments left that you can claim your book, Darkness Before Dawn. We have a couple of people that have Ooh. Already sent their hashtag Dawn to 0491. 064669. We have Vernon, we have Dee, we have Mark Anthony, and
congratulations,
fantastic.
Guys.
We are very excited to give them to you. So you still have the time if you want to know what is happening spiritually in the world today, how to prepare yourself to what the Bible calls is going to be the last great crisis on earth, which is going to be centered around worship, even though people will think it's about politics.
Well, it really just gives so much understanding to what's going on in the world today.
That's right. If you want to be
suffering
ready.
And how do you make sense of that within a spiritual context? Darkness Before Dawn is called Finding Hope for the Future in the tagline. And I think this really is a book about hope, isn't it? Because we hear these new stories and we just think, oh.
And look, and Jesus said to his disciples, see that no one deceives you. And if possible, even the elect would be deceived. The only reason that we won't be deceived is if we pay careful attention to the deceptions of Satan.
Yes.
They are already around us, but they're going to escalate and become even greater in the end of times. And if you want to be ready for that, if you want to be able to prepare others, if you want to prepare our family, we need to be aware. We need to be
aware of these birth pains,
cognizant.
These signs of the end.
That's right. And that book is going to help you big, big time. It's going to be, not only that, it's going to be a delightful read.
We want to put it in your hands. Text the code word hashtag Dawn to 0491-064-669 and let us gift you a copy of
That's
Darkness
right.
Before.
And thanks for interacting with us. We really appreciate your listeners, you know, you're listening to us, and we really appreciate being, you know, spending that breakfast hour with you, radio friend. It's
so
really
good.
An honor and a privilege to us.
And we're going to continue digging in the Bible this morning. We are in part two of our Encounter with God series.
That's right. And we're talking about how God's love is eternal. God's love is perfect. God's love is unconditional. However, God gave us the ability to reject that love.
Free choice. Otherwise, we'd be robots.
So I don't think that God would have created the world in any other way. But this is the thing. How do we reject God's love? Is just saying, God, I reject your love? Or maybe we're saying with our lips, yes, I'm totally taking your love, but with our lives, we are rejecting it. What's going on here? Let's look into a parable that Jesus told, and I think that's going to help us get some insights on that topic. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35, that's what we're going to read. Whenever you're ready there, Aaron. Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35.
You want me to read the whole chunk?
Yeah, let's read. Like, I'll stop you along the way so awesome. We can make some comments to help understand what's going on.
Here we go. Matthew 18, 23 says, Jesus said, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. And I think in some translations, this actually compares to it would require 200,000 years to pay off.
That's right.
The volume of this debt.
Exactly right. So the word here in the Greek is one servant owed 10,000 talents. Now, what is a 10,000 talent? Like, one talent, we know, amounted to about 6,000 denarii. One denarii was the amount that the average laborer would be paid for one day of work. So you get one denarii per work.
One denarii per day.
So 6,000 working days of labor, you get one talent. Now, imagine that the average worker would work 300 days per year, so they would earn about 300 denarii in a year. So how long does it take to earn one talent? Well, it takes 20 years. Okay, 20 years, you get one talent. So how long do you need to get 10,000 talents? And that's the number that you gave. 200,000 years. And we're talking about like, you know, in the hundreds of millions, not the billions of dollars. Now, it occurs to me, how did that servant incur in such a debt?
I have to wonder the same thing.
What? Imagine if you go to your boss, Aaron, and you say, look, I need some money. And your boss says, sure. Like, we're happy to help all of our employees. And how much do you need? And then you say, look, $5 million.
Yeah.
Like, there's this really nice house overlooking the sea that I have a few projects in mind.
Yeah.
That I really like. And then say, yeah, sure. And then you go and bought it. You go and buy it. And then you come back later and you say, hey, boss, I know that I haven't really repaid my debt, but can I borrow some more money? And they say, yeah, sure. Look, of course. You know, everything to you, Aaron. Like, how much do you need? I just need, like, you know, another $5 million. Like, my husband really liked that property out in the bush, and it's nice and close to the city. It's just a bit expensive. Yeah, sure. Here it is. And then you go on until, like, it's billions. And at some point, the master comes and say, look, you know, Aaron, like, your debt is absolutely, it's unpayable. Let's be honest. I gave all of that to you because, you know, we really like you. We really appreciate you. But you know what? I have a gift for you. You're debt free.
Which is crazy because it's very clear that the servant could never repay this level of debt.
It could never repay.
There was no possible way that he could work himself back into the black.
And what did he do with these 200, you know, these 10,000 talents of gold? This is another question as well. Did he just squander the whole thing? How do you just like burn, you know, the equivalent of, I don't know, billions of dollars? But anyway, this is an interesting question. But the fact is, even though he had a debt of like, I don't know, $500 million, who was very generously given to him, that debt was absolutely forgiven.
Incredible.
The master said, look, you know
compassion.
What? You're not owing me a single cent.
That master.
And then what has happened in that story?
So then it goes down to say
read from verse 28.
28. When the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him just a few thousand dollars. And this is the story that Jesus tells in Matthew 18, verse 28. And when this man finds the servant who owes him just a fraction of the kind of
this
debt.
This is 100 denarii.
Right, so 100 days work.
100 days work.
Yeah.
So there's like three and a half, you know, let's say $10,000.
Drop in the bucket. Actually able to be repaid. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. The servant fell down before him, begged for more time. Be patient and I'll pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until it could be paid in full. And then the story gets back to the king. And the king is furious. He calls in the man who he had forgiven and says, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Should not you also have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then he sends him to prison until he's paid his entire debt.
Which, of course, is impossible. Because number one, the debt is unpayable. And number two, how are you going to pay if you're in prison?
So he gave him, the servant who owed that money gave himself a life sentence because he wouldn't forgive servant that owed him money.
And one of the lessons from this parable is this. We can reject God's forgiveness when we reject to forgive others.
Which is so confronting because we believe that we have the right to hold grudges. You know, that a wrong someone has done to us deserves punishment. And we forget the volume of debt that we ourselves have been forgiven. And this is a really challenging concept about forgiveness. There's a really powerful book by Dr. Dick Tibbetts called Forgive to Live that I highly recommend. It includes 10 principles of forgiveness, and it really breaks down a lot of misconceptions about forgiveness. But if you are struggling with unforgiveness in your life, I highly recommend Forgive to Live because it does carry such an emotional burden and toll on us.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We are coming to the end of our show, but we want to give you the answer to the quiz question. I want to do a bit of a wrapper in the story that we were just studying as well, Aaron, and also ask you, what's your favorite part of the show? So, Shel, what's the answer to the quiz question?
Isaiah was the answer.
Isaiah.
The question that he was asked was, who shall I send and who will go for us? And he answered, send me. Here I am, send me.
That's right.
And that is the answer that all of us should give.
And God was asking Isaiah to specifically go to particularly the princes and the leaders of Israel and talk to them about God's messages. And God had warned him, hey, they are not going to receive that kindly. They're not going to enjoy it. They're not going to receive it with faith. On the contrary, they're going to persecute you for that. You know, but this is what I want.
Fingers in their ears. They're going
to. That's right. But this is at the very beginning of Isaiah's journey. And I think at around chapter 6, God renews his call to Isaiah and he asks that question, to whom will I send? And I think that sometimes I can also relate to that because sometimes in our own Christian experience, sometimes we lose a little bit of steam. Mm. Sometimes we are full of zeal for God and passionate about it. And if things happen and make us discouraged, say, you know, is God leading me? Is God still around? And God asks the same question, like, who can I count with that is going to go there faithfully, say the words that I want to say and be willing to go through whatever challenges so that some people can be won back to the heart of God.
Are you sold out for Christ? Who will go? Will you go? Will you say, here I am, Lord, send me?
That's right. And in our 20 million movement study, we're talking about the parable of the unforgiving servant that was forgiven a massive amount of debt and he did not want to forgive his, you know, a much smaller debt. He could easily have used some of that money that he has gotten. Surely he would have 100 denarii left out of the 20,000, the 10,000 that he initially had, but he didn't. And because of that, he had his privileges withdrawn from him, his forgiveness withdrawn from him. And I think that Jesus says that as well. He said, forgive us as we have forgive our debtors. Yeah. It's in the Lord's Prayer. And one way that we can forsake or we can reject God's love is that when we are rejecting to forgive others, when we are rejecting to pass on the blessings that God has given us to others, this is a way of practically saying, God, you know what? I am actively rejecting your love, your forgiveness.
And like that put the servant in prison for a life sentence effectively, may we not ever keep ourselves out of heaven because we unwilling to forgive someone who has wronged us. Right. And this is a very hard and deep and complex concept. We know that forgiveness and hurt runs deep and is not an easy process, but there are resources out there. Forgive to Live is an excellent Christian book on how to forgive so that you can live.
That's right.
And that you can live in heaven for eternity with God.
That's right. Because sometimes, look, forgiveness is a life skill. And we often, it doesn't come from factory settings. Often our parents didn't teach us how to forgive, the steps you need to go through. You probably haven't learned that at school either. So we need to learn it somewhere. Forgiveness is about mental health. It's about really freeing yourself from a burden, a very heavy burden that you don't need to carry. But you need to have a better perspective about what is forgiveness before you can forgive someone. And the gospel produces that. It gives that, but also that book by Dr. Dick Tibbetts is also a fantastic resource in that area. And look, this is it. So Jesus said, blessed are the merciful because they will receive mercy. So, you know, and the opposite is true. If we are not merciful towards others, what we are basically saying is that, God, I don't want your mercy anymore. It's this is the thing about God's economy, Aaron. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And our actions, our lives, we speak for us more than what our lips are paying service to. That's the fact. This is it. This is it. This is our show today. It's already been our first week, and we're going to be back on Monday with more. We're going to have Justin Lohmann. We're going to have great content lined up for you, so stay tuned. Keep listening to Faith FM, and go look for a church. Go be a part of Seventh-day Adventist Church next to your home today and tomorrow. Blessings.
I'll be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.